Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles. In just a little bit, I'll come to that name. But this is what it says. I quote, it says, a new study has found that over 60% of born-again Christians in America, think about that, over 60% of born-again Christians in America between the ages of 18 and 39 believe that Jesus is not the only way to heaven. And that Buddha and Muhammad also are valid paths to salvation. And the Christian Post reported that from this other poll. Let me read that again. A new study has found that over 60% of born-again Christians in America between the ages of 18 and 39 believe that Jesus isn't the only way to heaven, but that Buddha and Muhammad are also valid paths to salvation. What does this poll reveal to us? Well, number one, it reveals to us that people are not reading their Bibles. That's one thing it reveals to us. Let's notice in John, hold your place here if you would, but in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We'll talk about the born again part in a moment, but John chapter 14. 60% of those who claim to be born again in that poll do not believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. In John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And of course, this is Jesus talking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Excuse me. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then what? No man cometh unto the Father, what? But by me. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Notice also in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. So that was Jesus speaking there. In Acts 4 and verse 9. Acts 4 and verse 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of who? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation, what? In any other. For there is none other, what? Name under heaven given among men, whereby, what? We must be saved. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Jesus said, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The apostles here are preaching and saying, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. And he's talking about Jesus under heaven, given among men whereby we must be saved. So for these people to say they think Jesus isn't the only way to heaven, they're certainly not reading the Bible. Well, that's New Testament. Let's go to the Old Testament. Did they know that? Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Isaiah 43, verse 10. The Bible says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was what? No God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am who?
The Lord.
The Lord. And beside me there is what?
No
Savior. So they knew that in the Old Testament. The Lord is the only one that can save. He is the Savior. Look in chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 20. Isaiah 45, 20. The Bible says, assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. So we're talking about idols here, wooden images. Verse 21, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a what? A just God and what? A Savior. There is what? None beside me. Verse 22, look unto me and what? Be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there what? Is none else. Jesus said it. The apostles said it. The prophet Isaiah here is giving the word of the Lord and he is saying it. Let's look at Hosea chapter 13. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 2. Well, let's, because of time, let's just drop down to verse 4. Hosea 13, 4. The Bible says, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me. For there is what? No Savior beside me. Hosea 13, 4. There's no Savior beside me. Let's go back to Jude then. So you'll have your place there. Jude and verse 25, the last verse of Jude. The Bible says, to the only wise who? God what? Our Savior. Be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So to the only wise God, our Savior. So what does this poll reveal to us? It reveals to us that people are not reading their Bibles, that's for sure. I'll read it once again. It said a new study has found that over 60% of born-again Christians in America between the ages of 18 and 39 believe that Jesus is not the only way to heaven, and that Buddha and Muhammad also are valid paths to salvation. So number one, many people are not reading the Bible. Number two, many people do not really understand salvation. You know, salvation is not a game that God is playing. You know, sometimes children will play tag, and you have to decide who is what? It. Okay. Who is it? Okay. And then they have to get someone else, and then they are it. Okay. This isn't a game that God is playing. You know, and saying, well, I think I will decide that Jesus is it. He's the Savior. And if you don't look to him, I'm going to zap you in hell forever. If you don't play the game my way, you end up in hell. That's not what God is doing. These people don't understand salvation. It's not just trying to pick a religious figure like Jesus or Muhammad or Buddha or any number of other religious people. Salvation does not just come through a religious person. Salvation could only come from God, because God is the only one who is perfect without sin. This isn't a game. Notice in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. Matthew 19:16. And behold, one came and said unto him, what? Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but who? God. That is God. But one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Well, he was just kind of blind to his own sin. So is Jesus teaching that you're saved by keeping the law, that you're saved by keeping good works? No. He's trying to show this young man that he's not as good as he thinks. And so he says, verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, what was the whole point of this? Jesus said in verse 17, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. I thought salvation didn't come through keeping the commandments. Well, it doesn't, because none of us can. Then why did Jesus say this? To show him. So he starts rattling off these commandments, and the young man's checking them off. Yep, I've honored my parents. I wonder what his parents would have said, though. Yeah, but in his mind, all he could think of is, yeah, I've been the perfect child. And none of us have been the perfect child. Jesus was trying to show him the last part there. When he said in verse 19, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, Jesus picked that one to put him to the test. Okay, young man, you can't see any fault of your own. Okay, the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, you sell everything you have and give to the poor. Trade places with the poor. Let's see if you really love your neighbor. So just pick out a poor person and give everything you have to this poor person. Trade places. You know, are they living in a box under the freeway? That's your new home. Are you living in a mansion? That's the poor person's new home. That poor person has no car. You have a fancy car. It's his now. Everything is traded. Sign everything over. And the young man, no, I'll pass on that. So he really did not love his neighbor as himself. But you know, the interesting thing is everything God tells us to do, he does. Does God really love his neighbor as himself? Yes, indeed. Jesus is God. He did leave the mansions in heaven, the glory of heaven. He did leave his riches in heaven and became poor for us. He didn't even have a place to lay his head. We were condemned to die. And what did he willingly do? Become condemned to die. He paid the price for our sin. So Jesus proved that he does love his neighbor as himself, because anyone's our neighbor. The Good Samaritan shows us that. And so he was willing to do it for us. So he really did love his neighbor as himself. So salvation could only come through God, because only God is perfect. No one is perfect. That is why it took a miraculous virgin birth to produce the Savior. There was no other way. Notice in Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7. You know, sometimes people say, well, hey, the virgin birth, that's nothing to quibble over, whether it was true or not. Yes, it is something to quibble over, because if Jesus would have been born of a natural union between a man and a woman, he would have been born with what? A sin nature. And if Jesus already started out bankrupt like we did, his death is not going to save anyone, because he's going to be a sinner himself. So it had to be a miraculous virgin birth. And Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a what? A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, what is the significance of that? Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. The Bible tells us, what is the significance of the name Emmanuel? Matthew 1:23. Matthew 1:23. The Bible says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. God with us. And we see once again the significance of that in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And let's look in verse 34. Luke 1 and verse 34. The Bible says, Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also what? That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called what? The Son of God. So this is not a game. There was only one way for man to be redeemed. Someone perfect had to be willing to give his life as a sacrifice for our sin. If you notice in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, Romans 6 verse 23, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's not a game. Man sinned. Man was condemned. Condemned to hell. The wages of sin is death. There is only one way that we could be redeemed, if someone perfect were to die in our place. There is none good, there is none perfect but God, so it had to be God. But God had to be in the flesh. It had to be real blood shed for us. And so look at John chapter 1 in verse 14. John chapter 1 in verse 14. John 1:14, the Bible says, and the Word was what? Made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Had to be God in the flesh. Had to be someone who could then live a perfect life. There's no one but Jesus Christ who has ever lived a perfect, sinless life. It had to be someone who was born perfect without sin. It had to be someone who could live a perfect life and then willing to die on the behalf of others. And that is only Jesus Christ. Notice in John chapter 3, John chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, for God, what? So loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. What keeps people from turning to Him? They love their sin. As we read on, verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men, what? Love darkness rather than light, because why? Their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So, once again, this poll is just astounding to consider it, but a new study has found that over 60% of born-again Christians in America between the ages of 18 and 39 believe that Jesus isn't the only way to heaven, and that Buddha and Muhammad are also valid paths to salvation. So we've seen two things. Many people do not read the Bible. Many people do not really understand salvation. They don't understand what it took. To them, it's just like, well, just pick out any religious leader and follow him. No, that isn't going to work at all. So number three, many people do not really have eternal life. Many people do not really have eternal life. In that same organization, here's the name of it, Probe Ministries. So I quote, Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries, they're the ones that did the poll, said that this means that even born-again Christians can have a false view of Jesus Christ. Sorry, Kirby, but that's not true. The problem is those are not true Christians. That's why they have a false view of Christ. That's why 60% of them can say, well, if you follow Jesus or Muhammad or Buddha, you're okay. The reason is because those 60% are not really born again. They don't understand. They don't have eternal life. Notice in John 8:24. John 8:24. John 8:24. Jesus said here, he said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in what? Your sins. For if ye believe not that what? I am he, ye shall what? Die in your sins. What does he mean that I am he? The Jewish people here in this passage and in many others, in the book of John especially, he's pointing out, they did not believe that he was the Messiah. whenever he started to say something that they got the feeling like he's trying to say he's God, that's when they would pick up the stones to stone him. They would not accept that. Look at the end of the chapter here. In verse 58, John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was," what? "I am. I exist." "Then took they up," what? "Stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." You notice when you're reading your Bible, when they want to kill him is when he's putting forth that he is God. There's a lot of religious people in this world that are in for the shock of their lives. Notice in Matthew 7. So this poll, 60% of people in this poll who claim to be born-again Christians. And you may ask the question, well, what was the standard of being a born-again Christian? Well, these are the two questions they ask. Let's see. Oh, I thought I had it with me. I guess I didn't. One was, do you have a meaningful relationship with God that, how did it word it? Like a frequent, meaningful relationship with God. And they had to answer yes to that. And then, I don't think they used the word prayed, but have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? And they had to answer yes to that. And yet 60% of those said that Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. You can get there through Buddha, you can get there through Muhammad. There's something dreadfully wrong. They're not truly born again. So what these people have done is they've all said a prayer, but there's no true faith in their heart. We'll look at another verse in just a moment. But in Matthew 7 and verse 21, Matthew 7:21. What's the first word? "Not." "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter" where? "Into the kingdom of heaven. But he that" what? "Doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Okay, so it's not just someone that says, "Lord, Lord." It's the one who does the will of the Father which is in heaven. The Bible says faith without works is what? Dead. So we don't get saved by doing good works. But true faith always has good works with it. You can't separate the two. Without faith, well, we'll look at that other verse in just a moment. But so let's read on here. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." What's the first word of verse 22? Many. Remember that word. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" These just happen to be the three exact things that the charismatic movement emphasizes. Prophesying in Jesus' name, which they say is tongues. Tongues were not always prophesying, but that's what they say. Prophesying in his name, casting out devils in his name, and doing wonderful works in his name. That is the exact emphasis of the charismatic movement. Speaking in tongues, prophesying, casting out devils. Everything is the devil. If you have problem with gluttony, you got to cast out the devil of gluttony. If you have problem gambling, you got to cast out the devil of gambling. Whatever the problem is, if you drink liquor, you got to cast out the demon of alcohol. And on it goes. Looks really good on the resume. I cast out 20 demons out of people this week. cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, constantly claiming to have performed miracles. Now, who would doubt that these people are saved? I mean, they always say, Lord, Lord. They're doing all these miraculous things, prophesying, casting out devils, doing wonderful works. But notice what the Lord says to them, verse 23. And then will I, this is the Lord talking, then will I profess unto them what? I what? Never knew you. The thing is about that group, they always, well, maybe I should say not always, maybe 99.9% of them believe you can lose your salvation. Listen, Jesus said here, I what? Never knew you. It wasn't that you were saved, that you were doing all these miracles and then you made a blunder and a big sin and then you lost your salvation. Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Claiming to do something in somebody else's name when you don't even know them is against the law. Just try taking somebody's credit card and doing all kinds of nice things for people. I mean, how could they fault you? They will. They'll throw you in prison. You can't use someone else's name and do good things for someone else without the authority. And until a person is born again, that person has no authority from God. Remember the Jewish men, the sons of Sceva, and they saw Paul casting out demons, and so they tried it. They tried it, calling on the name of Jesus to cast out the demon. And the demon says, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you? And the demon-possessed man came upon them, and they fled out of the house naked and wounded. They had no authority to use Jesus' name. They didn't know him. So these 60% of people who are claiming to be born again, claiming to have a relationship with God, are very deceived. The Bible tells us here in verse 22, many are going to be in that boat. Many who claim to have done all kinds of things for Jesus. And when they see him, verse 23, he's going to say, I never knew you. Is he trying to get us to doubt our salvation? No. But he wants to make it very clear. Listen, it's not what we do for God that gets us into heaven. It's what Jesus has done for us on the cross. There's no work that can erase our sin. There's no work that can wash away our sin. It's only Jesus. It's not a game. It had to be God who redeemed us. There's only one way to get into heaven, and that is inherit it. You've got to be related to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. So there's some other shocking things in this poll. Listen, America has never seen such large mega churches. They're all over. Huge buildings. Hundreds, and in many of them, thousands of people attend the services. But America, this is what America is coming to. When 60% of those people, you know what that tells us? They're not hearing the gospel. It tells us there's no repentance in their life. It's just like joining a social club. They're saying a little prayer, and they really have no clue what they even believe. And they're going to be shocked to stand before God. And he's going to say, I never knew you. And they're going to plead, but I did all this for you, but I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I did wonderful works in your name. He's going to say, I never knew you. So may the Lord help us. You know, we are in a time when everything revolves. It's called seeker sensitive churches. It's to try to get the biggest crowd. And if we're not careful, we can fall right into the same thing. Just trying to get him to come for a good time. Trying to get him to come for a good cup of coffee and a good donut or whatever. That's where we're at. And then you can't preach the truth to them. So may God help us. Just in closing, let's go back there to Jude. Listen, we're in a battle, a real battle. In Jude verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." You notice that says the only Lord God. There's Muhammad, Buddha, and any other religious figure you want to mention can't do it, can't save. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord. We realize there's only one person that can save, and that is God in the flesh. That is Jesus Christ. No other person has ever been born sinless other than Adam and Eve, and they sinned in short order. Father, I pray, Lord, if there should be any here tonight that are confused, help them to realize that salvation is not a game. Salvation is not just choosing one of many religious leaders and their teachings to follow, but that it's life or death. It's eternal life or eternal torment in the lake of fire. Lord, please help no one here to be confused about that. Father, please help us as we strive to get out your word in a generation where so many people are deceived. Lord, help us to reach them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymn books, please. Turn to hymn.